the duties.
I was going to say, is it...
Somebody had like a blue marker exploded over there or something.
That's why I'm retiring. I'm like, I always said I would retire when they go into high school because I can be a man.
Played down there last night.
You what?
Played down there last night.
Yeah.
All righty, let's go ahead and get started. This is a administrative agenda, A04-15, of the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, present in Carson City.
Rebecca Wagner.
In Las Vegas.
Dave Noble.
And Lena Burtonshaw. Item 1A is time for comments from the general public on topics that pertain to items on this agenda. Are there any members of the public that wish to make a statement in Carson City?
Yes, Mr. Voltz has comment on item 2B and 2D. Mr. Voltz.
Thank you. Good morning. The following comments will pertain to agenda items 2B and D. Given the nature of the job, modifications are appropriate for the 18-month-old executive director's job description. As the chief financial and operating officer of the commission, the executive director needs to have, at a minimum, an advanced degree such as an MBA or master's degree in public administration, not just a bachelor's degree and 5 years of progressively responsible work experience. We have seen that the lack of high-level, seasoned financial skills and resources has been a chronic problem in the Commission's inability to timely collect administrative fines owed the state's treasury and manage employees without resorting to imprudent policies such as the unsuccessful advocacy for SB 46 in the 78th legislature. Similarly, the successful candidate must take the initiative to bring the public into the PUC's policymaking on a much more inclusive basis than has been the case for the last several years. Nothing in the job description provides the necessary emphasis for meaningful outreach to the public the PUC is bound to serve and which pays for the complete operation of the PUC through the millage assessment included in commission-approved utility rates. The 2012 process adopted by this commission for recruiting a new executive director omits a number of key components. First, the type of recruitment listed under item 2 should not be restricted to either internal or external candidates, but needs to pursue both approaches if it is to identify qualified executive director candidates with advanced degrees and work experience that includes non-governmental positions. Second, posting the position on state government's websites and NARUC is only the beginning of a broad-based recruitment process. Attached to these submitted comments will be a list of 10 websites focused on utility jobs. The PUC would be well advised to advertise this opening on all of them to cast the widest net for qualified applicants. In turn, the commissioner position, soon to be vacated by Commissioner Wagner, should also be advertised in a similar fashion so that the governor has the widest applicant pool to select from for his designee. Third, the current recruitment procedure calls for the commission to appoint a selection committee. As this is not a quasi-judicial issue and there are no named parties, the public should have representatives on the selection committee if the commission is operating in an open, public, and transparent manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Voltz. Chairman, I have no other cards for the public comment.
Thank you, Ms. Commissioner Wagner. Ms. DeFazio?
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Angel Lefazio. I want to thank Mrs. Jackson for all her years of dedicated service to the state, wishing her a happy and healthy retirement to enjoy with her family, while not having to deal with the alarm going off every morning. I'm sure that she now knows the light at the end of the tunnel isn't an oncoming train. We had speculated that she probably had intended to stick it out for another 36 months with the passage of SB 46, where she could have had her salary increased to beef up her retirement amount. But alas, the best laid plans never fully materialize. If it's of any comfort to you, your successor will be under the same microscope as you have if they decide to revive another version of SB 46. We will treat her like we did you. We aren't discriminatory. Here's the bright side. You may have only one more presentation for the quarter ending in June to appear and have to deal with any potential comments. We will always remember you fondly for the highly efficient use of taxpayers' money from the grant regarding Call Before You Dig that resulted in these highly necessary hard hats for kids who have no concept of what it means. Enjoy your retirement.
All the cards I have. Item 2A is regarding the May 27th, 2015, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong script. Item 2A, Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. This item is to advise you that I do plan to retire effective August 14th. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your leadership and guidance over the years. I feel fortunate to have had the opportunity to be the Commission's first executive director, and I've enjoyed the time we've spent working to make the Commission what it is today. I will miss you and the outstanding group of employees that we are so fortunate to have working for the Commission. So with that said, the position is available to fill on August the 17th.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. We're going to miss you, too.
I say we, like, deny her retirement. Make her stay.
There you go.
Put, like, 3 more years on her sentence. I mean, on her commitment.
We do the same for you.
No.
Item.
I noticed this item for discussion only for a reason.
Item 2B.
Item 2B, I've provided you a copy of the unclassified job description. This provides the key areas of responsibility, the required skills and minimum qualifications, and the knowledge, skills, and abilities. This will be used for the recruitment, and I've submitted it to you in the event the Commission would like to make any changes.
Any questions, comments, or modifications?
I have none.
I have none.
Okay, I would move then that we accept the unclassified job description.
Second.
Concur.
Item 2C.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a copy of the internal process which is used for recruiting, interviewing, and hiring positions appointed by the Commission. Again, this is for informational purposes as we move along to item 2D. Do you have any questions regarding the process?
Any questions?
I have none.
I have none.
Okay, I guess we move on to 2D.
Okay, item 2D. This item requires you to provide direction consistent with the internal process that was just discussed. First of all, would you like to proceed with an internal recruitment or an internal-external open competitive recruitment? The internal recruitment is limited to current Commission employees, while the internal-external open competitive recruitment is open to all interested candidates to include Commission employees.
Mr. Noble?
I would suggest doing an internal-external.
Commissioner Wagner?
Cast the net widely. I agree with Commissioner Noble.
And so do I.
Okay. The next piece, you need to determine the recruitment location. Would you like to fill the position in Carson City in Las Vegas or the best candidate regardless of location?
Well, I think it'd be very difficult for an executive director to be really efficient and be able to do their job from the Las Vegas office. So I think the recruitment location should probably be Carson City.
And I would agree with that.
And I agree with that, too.
Next, the commission shall appoint a selection committee. The selection committee members will review the applications to determine which candidates to interview, assist in developing interview questions, participate in the interviews, rank and discuss the interviews with other committee members, and select a finalist or finalists for recommendation to the commission at a subsequent agenda. Who would you like to serve as selection committee members?
We typically have three folks.
We typically have three. I would suggest an odd number, so if you wanted to exceed three, I would suggest five.
Okay. I think three is fine. I just want to verify that was the correct number. I would suggest Anne Marie and yourself, and I'd like somebody from the Las Vegas office.
How about Ms. Cordova from the Las Vegas office?
I think she'd be wonderful. Commissioner Wagner, your thoughts?
I hadn't thought about the Las Vegas office component, which I think is a good addition. I also would have liked someone from the commission side of the house, whether it be general counsel or hearing officer Lamolho. So that puts us at four. And then I would try and sucker in Bree or Ann to be the fifth. I mean, encourage. But I think the executive director's position is unique in that it crosses over both the commission side and the staff side. So that would be my only observation, but I do agree with having someone from Las Vegas. So I'll let you guys consider that.
Yeah, okay. I think actually going up to five.
Okay.
Maybe probably have more viewpoints at that, depending on how many finalists we want. And so having five actually may be better in this case.
Okay, I have no problem with that. So we would go with Anne Marie, Crystal, Tammy, Dawn.
Either Dawn or Lina.
Dawn or Lina.
And Bree or Anne. Crystal, does someone from fiscal, I think it's important for someone from fiscal to be part of it. But doesn't the personnel officer participate or somehow, maybe you can explain how that could work?
Yeah, I think if you wanted to go with Bree, that would be fine. We could have Ann sit in as the personnel officer to moderate the interview process. So Bree would be fine if you wanted to go that route. We wouldn't have any conflicts as we would have an individual that could serve as a personnel officer.
And I guess the question would be, do we want somebody from general counsel's office in place and have Bree be sort of the overseer of the whole process? So if we could have Lina and still have Bree overseeing it, making sure everything was following protocols.
Hi. I'm kind of – what do you think, Commissioner Wagner?
That actually makes some sense, although it's kind of fun to watch Bree squirm as we discuss this. So Lina, Crystal, Anne Marie, Dawn, and Tammy. At least it's not all lawyers. just kidding. And then Bree would be part of it. I think it's important for someone from fiscal, whether it's the personnel officer actively engaged in the decision or being part of it. So I would be good with those five, and then Bree is the personnel officer. And clearly she's going to play an important role in that. So I'm good with that.
I think we are too.
Okay. So I have Anne Marie, myself, Tammy, Dawn, Lina, and Bree will serve as the personnel officer. Which leads to my next question. How many finalists would the commission like recommended back from the selection committee? Do you want to see one finalist? Do you want to see more than one? If it's unanimous among the group, do you want one finalist? If it's not unanimous among the selection committee, do you want to have two? How would you like to direct us to proceed?
Well, my personal preference is I hate to chill the, if you bring two or three back to us and those, somebody among that two or three is concerned that their existing employment would find out. We always had that little problem, so my thought is we stick with what we've done before, which is bring us back with the one person that you would recommend.
So actually, I'd rather prefer to have two. I'd like to have options. Regardless of whether or not that is an issue with their ongoing employment, I think this is an important enough position that I'd like to have options, even if it is unanimous who their number one choice is.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just, we don't know, well, I don't know why anyone would apply for the job, but, you know, I would rather see the commission have more options to consider. So I would agree with Commissioner Noble.
Okay. So bringing two to us then. All righty. That's fine with me too. Do we need to vote on anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, so do I need to make a motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I would move that we post the opening for executive director as internal and external open competitive recruitment, that we recruit for the Carson City office. The committee members will be five, consisting of Anne Marie, Tammy, Crystal, Don, and Lina, with Bree to sit in. And bring two of the two top finalists back to the commission for recommendation.
Second.
Concur.
All right. 2E, Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Chairman. Item 2E is a deletion of our internal furlough policy 4.3, as furloughs will no longer be required after July 1st, and a change to our timesheet policy, removing the furlough portion in Section D. The timesheet policy will now become policy 4.3, and I realize it looks like it's policy 4.34, but the strike-through is actually there. It's just difficult to see in the printed version. And this item does require the commission's a vote.
All righty. So I would move we accept the amendment.
Second.
Concur.
Item 2F, Ms. Jackson?
I have nothing further, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Item 3A.
I have public comment from closing public comment from Mr. Volz.
Yes, for the record, Fred Volz. Even though the 78th legislature is concluded, there has been no item scheduled for an open and transparent public presentation on how the PUC will implement legislative mandates. Why isn't this a priority discussion with the public about how the PUC will proceed? A May 29th article in the Las Vegas Sun discussed collection of income tax payments by a regulated utility from its commercial customers. The commission's regulatory operations director was quoted as saying, quote, "It goes to reduce the rates for everyone else," unquote. Whether this is an accurate quote or not is one unresolved administrative issue. If it is inaccurate, a retraction should have been requested by the PUC. The administrative problem this inaccurate statement created strongly suggests that PUC staff should not give statements to the press without having them vetted first by one of the many PUC staff attorneys. If an attorney in private practice used client funds in a trust account to pay for law office expenses, this would be a huge problem. If a private employer used withholding taxes gathered from employees for any other purpose than to remit them to the appropriate government body, the IRS and others would prosecute such activity. Going forward, PUC staff should follow the procedure of, quote, "no comment," unquote, to the press on such matters, particularly when they lack subject matter expertise in arcane taxation law. Tacitly endorsing a utility's position outside of the docket and hearing process is akin to promoting tax fraud against the public in this particular instance. It also promotes unethical practices that in the real, non-regulatory world would have dire consequences for the perpetrators. A copy of this article will be included as an exhibit to the testimony. Lastly, in the spirit of energy efficiency, it's important to point out that Carson City PUC's public meeting rooms have their thermostats set at 70 degrees. The recommended energy efficient setting in summertime is 78 to 80 degrees per NVE's website. The public paying PUC expenses expects the PUC to set a positive example and change all of its office thermostat settings in Carson City and Las Vegas to 78 degrees for the duration of the cooling season and 68 degrees in the winter heating season. Thank you.
That's all we have in Carson.
Ms. DeFazio?
For the record, Angel DeFazio, if the admin and utility agendas follow basically the same format, why all of a sudden at the utility agenda will they now be voting on accepting the minutes of the prior meeting, but not with the admin agenda? Also, since it's not publicly known that there is an audio recording of admin agendas, why isn't the audio listed on each agenda notice once the meeting is over? Additionally, why isn't the admin agenda broadcast live? Also, why aren't the minutes from the April 29th meeting posted? Thank you.
That's all we have in Las Vegas. We're adjourned.